Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, titled, Whosoever Will. This is part 2 of 2.
That Cain serpent seed doctrine. William Branham, he's a false prophet who they had a picture, somebody took his picture one day and there was a little halo appeared over his head in the picture. And so they started saying that that was a sign that he was a prophet. And so he started teaching this oneness, you know, name it, name it, claim it was part of it. He died, and there's a cult to this day, they call them Branhamites, who are expecting him to be resurrected. He's been dead for like 40 years, 50 years, something. But anyway, that's when you get away from the Word of God and you just start making some thing what you are about, heresy begets heresy, and that's where you end up. And if you teach that people are saved because God makes them, then you've just denied the existence of will. And you then hear them get up and pretend that they believe in some sort of will. Jesus said this in Luke 13:34, and the question is, would not or could not? Would not or could not? It's kind of like, you know, parents catch their kids, you know, they say, you know, you need to do your homework, get up there and do it. And then they don't do it. A couple days later, they get a note from the teacher. They didn't get their homework assignment done. I sent you upstairs to do it, but I couldn't. You couldn't or you wouldn't. And you didn't. And a lot of parents know it's wouldn't. Because doing this, that doesn't mean you couldn't. That means you wouldn't. Or, look what Jesus, Luke 13:34. Jesus being God in human form and knowing the future, he was seeing what was about to happen to Jerusalem, even though it was another 4 decades away. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And what? They weren't predestined to do that. They weren't predetermined to do that. They had a will and they would not. It's not about could not. It's would not. Reality check. Without a will. What a will. Without a will, there's no responsibility. That's what's so crazy about this Calvinist doctrine. You will answer for your will. If this... It's really Augustinian Calvinism, whatever you want to call it. If this idea that you just simply did what you were pre-programmed to do, you were either elect or you weren't, then all the non-elect will justifiably stand before God and say, I just did what I was elected to do. I couldn't be saved. According to the Calvinists, you can't be saved unless you're elect. So, all the unsaved people can stand there and say, I wasn't elect. What do you want me to do? See how senseless that is? I want to tell you this too. This has been my experience. Even before I saved, I saw this. So there were some preachers who tried to teach their people this. And they wouldn't learn. And they just like, you know, well, this is division, and we're all good Christians, and let's just get along, and we don't need to pick on the Calvinists. I mean, they're good people, and I watch one on TV, and he's fine, and, you know, yeah, D. James Kennedy, you know, he's fine. Well, D. James Kennedy on TV was fine. He hardly ever preached Calvinism. It was only if you went to his church in Fort Lauderdale where you got the indoctrination. But here's the thing that happens, is because the people are stiff-necked, and they won't learn, then preacher dies, new guy comes in and he preaches things without using clear words and terminology, and the suckers don't realize they're being fooled. And that's when the church dies. See? And that can happen to you personally if you don't learn these things. Personally, you could just end up being a sucker and buying this stuff. Happens. And I'm just, it's one of those things where, you know, I could be a little less negative if I didn't bring that up. You know, I didn't talk about it. But every year I look back and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who did? There are people right now who have, just in the last few months, have totally written us off. Not just me, this whole ministry. And have gone off the deep end. A year and a half, 2 or 3 years ago, I tried to warn them. And I'm warning everybody listening to this. You need to learn this to guard your own heart and to be able to fend it off amongst your friends, family, and your local church. Just the way it is. It's also, like I said, you know, that we talk about repentance, and these guys claim to believe that the gospel, you know, doesn't call men to repentance. And especially if you mention sin. None of them will go out on the street and preach that. None of them will go on, you know, the internet or anything and just preach, hey, you lost people. You don't have to give up your sin. You like fornicating? Keep fornicating. You like Sodom? Just keep at it, buddy. Have your boyfriends, whatever. Just believe that Jesus died for those sins and was buried and rose again. No change needed. That's what they believe.
That's not a good position.
Why don't they go out and preach that if that's what they believe? Same thing with the Calvinists. One thing, you hardly ever see Calvinists out street preaching, for starters. But they never preach their doctrine. The Calvinists are out there saying, hear ye, we are here to find the elect. If you are elect, you can be saved. If not, go to hell. That's what they believe. If I believed that, I'd be preaching it. There's one thing I hope you know about me is I believe what I preach and I preach what I believe. If I believed that nonsense, you'd see me out on the streets looking for the elect. Looking for the elect. I'd have a sign, looking for the elect. Are you elect? If you are not saved, Jesus says that you are the problem. Hey, listen, especially down, seem to happen more in southern Ohio and Kentucky and West Virginia. But I'd go door knocking, you know, and walk up to the guy, and they would look me in the eye, serious as could be, and they'd say, I just don't think I'm predestined to be saved. I said, what makes you say that? I don't know. I give it some thought, and then I just don't care anymore. And I figure it's because I'm not elect. I'm not kidding you. Run across people like that, including an old man who was on his deathbed. He was in his death chair. He's sitting in a chair, old as dirt, and looked like if you touched him, he'd crumble. I mean, that's how bad off this guy was. I'll never forget it. It was a real, you know, smack in the face to me. And I was young, you know, and the older man was doing all the talking. And he was trying to, you know, very gently say, you do realize you're pretty old. You look like death warmed over. Maybe you ought to give the Lord a thought right now. And the fellow, you know, gave this excuse and that excuse. But one of the things he says, I don't know, preacher, I just don't think God's ever elected to be saved. That's out there. It's a shame. If you're not saved, Jesus says that you are the problem, and it's because you will not be saved. That's all. John 5:10, Jesus said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. If Calvinism is true, that Jesus is lying to people there. If Calvinism is true, and whosoever will cannot come and take of the water of life freely, Jesus should have said, and ye cannot come to me because I never chose you. That's what Jesus, an honest Jesus who is a Calvinist, would say, and ye cannot come to me because I didn't choose you. So, get out of my face. I'm looking for the elect. That's what an honest Jesus Calvinist would have said. He's not a Calvinist. He's not an Arminian either, by the way. Arminianism is another extreme. Jesus is the Bible author, and we are Bible believers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any sinner could be saved if they will. Get that in your head and start preaching to sinners. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. When God calls on us to do something, we can. Here's the bottom line, is all this Calvinism and predestination stuff I'm talking about, the apostolics aren't Calvinists, but they believe the same thing or whatever. Whoever's teaching this stuff, they turn God into a psycho. They have God up there saying, repent! Fool, you can't. I didn't choose you. What a fool. That's the God they preach. Repent and believe the gospel. Oh, I didn't choose any of you. Oh, want to see something exciting? Here's an elect. Repent! Drops to his knees. Look at that. Ain't this fun? That's not the God of the Bible. But that's the God of Calvinism. And you know what? Calvinists, when they go soul winning, you know what they get excited about? It's weird because they believe everything's predestined, but they think there's a chance they might run across the elect. Think about it. They do. They seriously, you talk about, I'm going to go out because I might run across one of the elect. I'm going to preach the gospel and one of the elect might hear me. What a thing to get excited about. You know what I get excited about? Because I know I can preach to any lost man or woman on the planet and preach the gospel and they can be saved if they will. Yeah. If they will. You ever known someone who is strong-willed? I'm not looking at Charlie. You're looking at one now. And some people say it to me as though it's supposed to be an insult. It's actually a good thing if the will is submitted towards God's will. See what people, most of the people who are outspoken against me being strong-willed is because I won't stop preaching against their sodomite culture. I won't stop preaching against and slamming their corrupt new versions. I won't stop preaching against this ecumenical apostasy. I won't stop preaching against the stupidity of Calvinism and the charismatic movement and the cults. I won't just get along and hold hands and sing happy songs. And I'm strong-willed, stubborn. Amen. Go thou and do likewise. Amen. Because listen, it wasn't in my nature to be like that, really. I mean, I could be strong-willed in things like doing my homework, like we talked about Charlie. You know, I was just the same way. But when it came to people, I like getting along. Before I was saved, I'd go to the party. I was, you know, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I was pretty much the life of the party. I'd go in. We'd have a good time. Everybody loved it. They called me Fudge in school. Everybody wanted Fudge to be there, you know. Fudge was a lot of fun, you know. And we had some good times, and we had some that were not so good, but we had a lot of good times. And it was in my nature to want to get everybody together and to have a good time. And you know what? I still like doing that. We have our Friday night cafes, and I'd like for everybody to show up because we had a real good time Friday and had birthday cake and everything for Janie and everything. But some of you, I know, have to work. You got other things going on. But if you ever come to that, I love that. I love hanging out with the believers. Amen? It's good times. But if in order to hang out with you, I have to stop taking a firm stand on the truth, you can forget it. And that goes for Christmas. That goes for Thanksgiving. That goes for birthday parties. That goes for pizza parties. That goes for anything. You're not going to get me to go along to get along. But if we as Christians can get together and there's no dirty jokes, blasphemy, pornography, and all that stuff, and we just have a Christian fellowship, I'm all for it. Amen?
Amen.
So in closing, the question is, your will or God's will? James 4:7, the verse begins by saying, submit yourselves therefore to God. Understand, we're not talking about you submitting to me or some denomination or whatever, or even a movement. We're talking about you submitting to God. And it begins when the sinner submits to the call of the gospel. The sinner will be saved. If you will, God will. And that's where it starts. Once you know God's will on a thing, then you be as stubborn and strong-willed as it takes. You hear that? When you know something's right, you don't budge. And as long as I'm breathing and I'm here, I'm not going to speak for everybody else in the room, but I'll tell you, for me, as far as I'm concerned, you can count on me. I'll be there with you. You have something going on in your life and you have people coming down on you or whatever the case may be, I'll stick there with you. Yep. And I don't care if they mock us and make fun of us. As a matter of fact, it's one of the spiritual gifts I have is I've learned to enjoy it. Amen? The more the Sodom, nasty, God-hating, pro-abortion, pro-queer, whatever out there hates me, I just learned to enjoy it. Amen. Whosoever will, let him take the wonder of life freely. And one last, I said closing, I lied. Now we're closing. Jesus is still calling. Revelation 21:6, you remember this? We read, and he said to me, it is done. This is Jesus talking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's Jesus speaking right there. Next Sunday we'll pick up on verse 18. But let's close with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study. I pray it sinks in, Lord, to every one of us that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. I don't preach to make people unnecessarily doubt their salvation or doubt their relationship with you, but there's something wrong with someone who claims to be a part of the body of Christ who isn't inviting sinners in some way, shape, or form. And I pray everyone in this room will be motivated to find some way to be involved in getting the gospel out and to urge sinners to be saved, but to not cut corners or try to make it easy. It's already as easy as it can be. Jesus has already done all the work. Help us to preach what Jesus has done, how that he died on the cross and paid for the sins of the world, was buried and rose again the third day. And if any sinner repents toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, if they will, then you will save them. And we thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we have a Q&A couple minutes here. I got done 10 minutes earlier than last time, so yeah. Yeah, if you have any online, you can post them there. And Vanna White, or I mean, Jenny Obal will share those with me. Yes, my lovely wife has a question.
There's this passage that they always bring up, and it's Romans 9, and it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, etc., etc., and then it says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, and will have mercy on mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? But I believe that that's talking about Jews.
Yes, that's talking about the nations.
I think that's something that you might maybe make them aware of, because that's...
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, this wasn't some exhaustive refutation of Calvinism, and we've done a series on the Tulip. It's available online where we go into a lot more, you know, information, a lot more questions. But that text, loving Jacob and hating Esau, isn't about Jacob the man and Esau the man. It's about the nations. And if you read the context, again, there you go.
It's very easy that
The context is about the nations. And God chose Israel, Jacob, and didn't choose anybody else, including Esau, the Edomites. He didn't choose the Ishmaelites. He didn't choose the white man. He didn't choose the Navajo. He chose the Jews. He chose Jacob. And that's what that text is about. That's the amazing thing. Is also the word elect. The word itself, if you go look it up, very rarely is it even talking about Christians. Many times it's talking about Jesus as the elect son, talking about Israel, talking about angels sometimes. And they'll just take any time the word elect pops up and they'll throw it down, slap it down for a doctrinal sermon.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Again, it all comes back to rightly dividing the word of truth. You got a question online, Vanna?
Yes. Becky. Let's see.
Becky?
Yes. It says, as I have been listening to my sister's past Sunday school teacher, he said today that the tribulation saints will be people that did not hear the gospel before the trip. Is that right?
I think that's pretty accurate, actually. We talked about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it is, where it says that you remember the reference to the strong delusion? We got to look it up. Let's look it up real quick. Because that's a great question, Becky. By the way, I'm using Sword Searcher. Sword Searcher. Buy it online. It says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, the verse before that, we actually do need to start with verse 10. Look at verse 10. It's talking about the Antichrist deceiving people. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Watch this. Because they received not, that's past tense, they received not the love of the truth. What's the truth? The gospel. Why do I say it's the gospel? The next verse, next few words tell us it's the gospel. What truth? That they might be saved. See, so these people right here, then the ones who would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, they've rejected the gospel, missed the rapture, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This doesn't fit Calvinism because these people had their chance and they blew it. Then the next verse repeats this truth. It says that they all might be damned who what? Believed, past tense, not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, which is John 3:19. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See how that works? Yeah, Johnny?
That interesting observation I would have there. It seems like with how the wording is, that all those who didn't receive the gospel before the tribulation, that's not saying that they absolutely will never get saved. Because it sounds like it's saying that they might, it's saying might, and it's...
Well, because the when it says that you might be saved, it's not saying it's up in the air. It's like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And there's people out there who say, see? It says should not perish. It doesn't say they won't perish. And that's not what it means. It means should not perish, meaning that by believing, as a result, they should not perish is not a question mark. It's an emphatic statement. Yeah, and this is, well, he's agreeing with that, that this is talking about people in the past tense. But it doesn't leave any question. It doesn't say God shall send some of them strong delusion.
No, what I was saying is, it sounds like that, I mean, yes, they'll receive the strong delusion, but there's still a chance.
Then it says they'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. And that's not a question mark.
Okay.
Yeah, it's emphatic. And the statement, the warning that should be given to people today is, you think, because there are some people who've heard doctrine of the rapture, and they think, well, if I miss out on the rapture, I'll get saved during the tribulation. Not according to that. And people need to understand, of course, it goes hand in hand with the people are taught that as long as you're alive and you have breath, that you can be saved. Not according to the Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and elsewhere says there are people who are alive who can't be saved. Why? We don't know who they are, but God does, and they're alive and can't be saved. He's handed them over. So see, that's where you have to, again, being very careful with words. And Mark and I were talking about this earlier. I should have brought this up. I just want you to listen to this. The President of the United States said, quote, "The fake news is the enemy of the American people," end quote.
Yes, sir.
Chuck Grassley, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, all kinds of people, rhinos, and of course all the Democrats, and which means most of the people in the media, are running around saying that it is un-American to say that the press is the enemy of God. Enemy of the American people, I'm sorry. Now, did you hear the words I said? Because they did not repeat the words of Donald Trump. The press is not the enemy of the American people, and Donald Trump didn't say so. He said fake news is the enemy of the American people, and that's true. But it's not only important that you get the difference and learn to listen like that, because I'm telling you, if you don't listen like that, you're going to just be completely brainwashed. But the important thing is also to catch the liars, to understand there's something wrong with that person. When they insist on taking my words and misrepresenting what I actually said, you're not dealing with an honest person. Ye are of your father the devil. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. I'm telling you, most of the news media across the board, and by the way, not dismissing Fox News at all. They did it too. Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, there were a few of them that didn't. But a bunch of the other people on Fox News totally misrepresented what the president said. And I get upset about it because before Donald Trump came around, I was one of the preachers, have been one of the preachers trying to preach this to people. The news media in this country is controlled, scripted, and fake. We've shown video clips where news, local and national, from one end of the other of the nation, just happened to be reporting the same story using the exact same words. It's not possible, folks. Not possible to happen on accident. It's fake. It's scripted. It's the enemy of the American people. The press isn't the problem. There's plenty of press out there who are true, who are honest. They just don't have jobs at CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, or any of the major networks. They don't work for New York Times. They don't work for the Washington Post. They don't work for the LA Times. But they're out there. But the problem isn't the press. The problem is the fake press, the fake news. Yeah. A lot of people want to hear that. Yeah. Yeah, Jane?
Aaron says, when talking with a Calvinist, is it a good idea to try and save them out of that with fear?
Only talk to a Calvinist if you have to.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.